Well, I don't know about you, but I like to talk about strength. I like to, on a reference form that I will fill out sometimes for a student going to college or somebody getting a job, they will oftentimes, on a reference form, they will put down, please list the person's strengths that you're giving a reference on. And I like to list strengths. But then, usually right after that question is another question or another thing that they ask us to fill out, and that is, list the person's what? Weaknesses. I don't like talking about my weaknesses. I don't like talking about others' weaknesses. I don't like listing weaknesses. We don't like to talk about weakness. There's some things that have interested me over the years, or some things of interest. One is the strongest man competition. Have you ever seen the strongest man competition? I mean, these guys, they can barely walk. They're so huge, you know. They hook them up with a chain or something to their back, to a bus or a truck, and now they're going to pull this vehicle. Strongest man competition. I've also watched arm wrestling competitions, right? Professional arm wrestlers, right? They get up all intense. They're looking at the other person. They're trying to intimidate them. Their muscles bulge this big. And then in one arm wrestling competition, they rip a muscle or something, and they're done for another whole year. No more arm wrestling competitions because they ripped their muscle that's so strong in the arm wrestling competition. Strength. We like strength. We don't like to talk about weakness. We admire people for being strong when they're mourning a loss. We admire people and are proud of friends that stand tall in the midst of adversity. We'd rather talk about strengths. But may I remind you this morning that weakness is standard equipment on every model of human being created. Weakness is standard equipment. That means none of us live without it. You may think you're a strong person, but trust me, you have limitations. You're not God. You're not infinite in strength. You get weak at times. You get tired. You get fatigued. You get exhausted. You face times where your strength is decayed. All of us do. All of us face those times. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, knew the secret of strength through weakness. Complimented once by a friend on the impact of his life upon the mission, Taylor answered, I quote, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, he's weak enough, he'll do." Speaking of himself. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they relied upon his strength. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, as I bring a message entitled, When Strength is Decayed. When Strength is Decayed. Did you know that God's very interested in weak things? He's very interested in weak people. You find his 3 years of ministry, he's constantly working with weak people. He's working with the man who's blind who can't even find his way home. He's working with the lady who had the issue of blood for 37 years. He's working with the man who was born a four down through the roof. He could even walk to get to Jesus. They had to carry him to get to Jesus, but Jesus was interested in weak people. He's working with the lame that could not walk. He was working with people that were controlled by demons and had no control over their own body, their own speech. They were weak. They were powerless. But Jesus was interested in the weak. In fact, he came to transform the weak and to make them strong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." When our strength is decayed, we are speaking of being physically or mentally or spiritually or emotionally exhausted, weary, fatigued, tired, often with a loss of desire to continue, often with hard just to roll yourself out of bed, often hard to put together thoughts one right after another. You're weary, you're worn. Listen, all of us get there from time to time. We get to a point where our strength is decayed. And I want to say this, where strength is decayed, discouragement is close by. Where one's strength is decayed, you have to understand that right around the corner, not far away, is discouragement. There are a number of causes in the book of Nehemiah as to why one's strength might decay. And I want to bring those out from the scriptures this morning. And I pray that God gives us understanding to recognize what may be causing our strength to be decayed and then be able to understand how to have strength from the source of strength, who is God. First of all, the first cause I see is found in Nehemiah chapter number 4. The cause of your strength being decayed, or the cause of weariness this morning, if you're taking notes. Nehemiah chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1 because I want you to see the principle I'm going to bring out here. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Speaking sarcastically now, Sanballat, enemy of the Jews, enemy of Nehemiah. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. So here's a second enemy, a second opposition. And he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Scorners, mockery, opposition. Nehemiah says, "Hear, O our God," in verse number 4, "for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. So built we the wall," verse number 6. But they weren't done. The opposition wasn't done. In verse number 8, Bible says, "And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God," in verse number 9, "and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Listen, any time that you're doing something day and night, it will drain you. And it drained them. They were watching for the enemy. They were battling and they were building at the same time. My friend, that's life. Battling and building at the same time. That's what these people were doing. And notice what Judah concludes in verse number 10 here. He says, "And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said," they had listened to the words of their adversaries, "they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease." First cause I see for weariness is relentless opposition. Relentless opposition. Did you know that in your life you have some opposition? That's relentless. It's interesting, the Bible describing the enemy, the devil, describes him as a lion that walketh about. Walketh about continually, prowling, looking whom he may devour. That was what was taking place with the enemies of Israel and the enemy of Nehemiah in this passage. Notice the opposition often causes people to set a watch against them day and night, through the night. You ever been in battle before? You ever had opposition in your life and it caused you to lose sleep? I mean, it just drained you. You thought on it. You feared about it. Opposition that you're dealing with in your life. That's what happened with Nehemiah and the people of Israel. Day and night, man, people were watching through the night for the enemy to come. In the morning, people were watching at the gates for the enemy. They were alert. They had to be prepared. They were on edge, so to speak. Brethren, that'll wear you down. Opposition will wear you down in your life. It requires constant resistance. It poses the threat of fear continually. Some of our cities are like that today. Even as I speak, in America, people are fearful. People in the cities that aren't part of these things are fearful that violence will break out. It was Friday afternoon. One of our police officers of York County called me and said, "Pastor, could you pray for us?" He said, "Tonight our tactical team goes into York. We're expecting violence." And he says, "I have no idea what's going to happen." Thankfully, God answered our prayers, and Friday night he wrote me back and said they were sent home because nothing happened, and we praise the Lord for that. But I want you to understand, you can see it in our day, some of the things that are taking place. The enemy sought to intimidate and frighten these people. Brethren, be reminded, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. But that's good to hear, but sometimes that's hard to practice. Here the people said, in Nehemiah chapter number 4, they made a prayer to God, but they had heard the voice of the enemy in verse number 11. They had heard, they shall not see it. We're going to come, slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it wore on them. Wonder if you're living with a fear that's wearing on you. Because the strength of the burden bearers was decayed, part in part because of relentless opposition. By the way, I think Nehemiah was a pretty strong man. I think the children of Israel were pretty motivated, according to chapter number 1, to rise and build. But I want you to understand that over time, their strength decayed. There's another man in the scriptures. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 19, there's another strong man that we know. His name is Elijah. He's a very strong man. He's got a strong makeup. He's a leader. He's a prophet. Man, you want to fight with the 400 Baals, prophets of Baal? Let's go at it. We'll call down fire from heaven. We'll fight you. We'll slay all 400 of you. Certainly that was Elijah's life. But did you know that Elijah's strength decayed because of opposition? We pick it up in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested strong Elijah, A-type personality, guy that nobody maybe thought would ever be taken down, sat under a juniper tree, requested for himself that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Here's a guy that was strong and became weak. Brethren, you need to understand that you may be strong today and weak tomorrow. We're not strong all the time. Even the strongest of the strongest are not strong all the time. Elijah, one of the strongest spiritual men in Israel at the time, is ready to die. He's suicidal. His mind is weak. He's on the run. He's fearful. He's consumed with fear about Jezebel taking his life. To the point in verse number 5 it says, and he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and what'd he do? He laid him down again. Man, this guy must have been wiped out. He went, slept, woke up, ate, went to bed again. He wakes up, verse number 7, middle of the verse. The angel says, arise and eat because the journey's too great for thee. Man, after sleeping and eating and sleeping again, the angel recognizes, hey, Elijah, you're still not ready for the journey. Hey, you're still fatigued. Your strength is still decayed. Wonder if your strength's decayed this morning because of opposition. What is even more draining will wipe your strength out even quicker is opposition from within. It's one thing to have the world opposing you. It's one thing to, we know that the world will hate us for what we believe and what we stand for. It's another thing to be opposed from within your family. It's another thing to fight opposition that you didn't expect it to come from that friend. You certainly weren't, you never saw this coming. Nehemiah faced it in chapter number 5. He faced relentless opposition from without, but he also faced opposition from within. Look at verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 1. This will wear you out. This will drain you. Bible says in verse number 1, and there was a great cry of the people of their and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. Whoa, this isn't from without. This isn't Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the rest of the enemies from without. This is from within. This is from within the families that they're working with. For there were that said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. Boy, they're losing everything. Boy, life is hard. We don't even have food to eat. All this going on. Look at verse number 6. Nehemiah says, and I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. Huh. You've had a difficult time finding pasture in times of opposition. I mean a time to rest. I mean a time to kind of gather your thoughts. I mean a time to kind of recuperate and renew. Are you there this morning? You know good people get there. Nehemiah was there. Elijah was there because of relentless opposition. There's something else I see in Nehemiah, why their strength was decayed, and that is endless tasks. Endless tasks. Responsibility, duties of life that are just endless. You run day and night. Maybe in your job right now, you're in that season of work that you're just going and going and going. I know Brother Merriman's here this morning from time to time. He works outage and it's 7 days a week and it's 12 hours. I mean, it's day and night, day and night, day and night. And that will often cause your strength to be decayed. It'll often bring weariness upon you. Look at verse number 10, Nehemiah chapter 4 now and verse number 10. Oftentimes, the work becomes so much that you can't see how it's going to get all done. College students, you ever remember those syllabuses? You know, one right after another with hundreds of pages of reading for this class and papers and projects. And then you look at your next class and it's even got more than that class and deadlines. And you're looking at all these things are supposed to be due on the same day and finals and midterms. How in the world am I going to get all that done? Those of you going to college this fall, you'll experience a little bit of that. Maybe, Mom, all the things that are on your platter in a day. Maybe often you're overwhelmed with those things. Notice what Judah said about the burden bearers here. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. There is so much to do. There is so much to remove in the city. There is so much ash and destruction. How are we ever even going to get all that moved, let alone build the walls again? They're overwhelmed. Endless tasks. Sometimes we schedule too much. Sometimes we pack our days too full. Sometimes our weeks and our months get carried away and we wear down physically. And we wear down mentally. And we wear down emotionally. And sometimes that busyness robs us of waiting on the Lord. And we don't get our strength renewed where it could be renewed. And our strength decays. When? Sometimes when we are facing endless tasks. When our days are long. They certainly face that here. Say, preacher, what else causes strength to be decayed? Not only endless tasks, but multiple burdens. Notice in verse number 10, the strength of the bearer of burdens, plural, is decayed. Notice he spoke of these men and women as bearers of burdens. They are bearing the brunt of the load. I don't know if you've noticed the last couple weeks, but in my opening time in our services, there have been loads of burdens to share with you in our church. And that's not even all of them. There are some unspoken requests that I cannot share with you. There are burdens. Burdens, burdens, multiple burdens in the church. And some of you are helping to bear some of those burdens. You're a burden bearer. You know what happens to burden bearers? They get weary. Their strength decays. They were simply spent from heavy work. Heavy work of watching for the enemy. That was a burden. They worked to clean up the rubbish. They did it one day, and then another day. They woke up to it another day. So is someone whose strength is decayed. They were at a good work, but they were weary in well-doing. Are you there? I mean, you're at a good work. It's not bad work. You're bearing the burden even of someone else. But in your own life, your strength is decayed. You may be at a good work such as the work of caregiving. But caregivers remind you, you have limitations too. And your strength can get easily decayed. Burden bearers are the ones whose strength decays. And by the way, we're called to bear one another's burdens, are we not? In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But understand that when you're bearing multiple burdens, it is often in those times that you sense weakness not like not before. You may be at the work of counseling others. It can be a draining work. It's a good work. It's a helpful work. It's a burden-bearing work. But it's a draining work. You may be at the work of intercession. You're bearing somebody else's burden through prayer. But may I tell you, the work of intercession is exactly that. It is work. And it will drain you. You may be bearing a greater burden at your workplace because of furloughs, or they're trying to put more on less people. You may sense that your strength is decayed because of that setting and season that you're in. You may be bearing the burden of someone who is weary themselves and trying to hold them up, trying to build them up, and trying to carry them, help carry them and support them through a time in their lives. You may be a missionary listening this morning, or maybe you're over on a foreign field and you're some of the church leadership that's trying to hold things together in your church when things are kind of spread out and things aren't normal and you're bearing the burdens of the people. Understand this morning that burden bearers often face a time where their strength is decayed. You may be in the medical field this morning bearing the burden of trying to remain safe and prevent the spread of the virus. You may bear the burden of fear of going to work each day. My friend, I want you to know that it's the burden bearers whose strength is decayed. Still others are bearing family burdens, things that bear down on your heart, things that you have no control over. But nevertheless, you bear the burden. And may I say that over time, those burdens get heavy. They bear down. They take strength out of us on all fronts. Burdens, multiple burdens, lead to strength being decayed. What else, preacher, leads to strength being decayed in one's life? Lack of help does. Lack of help. Verse number 10, Nehemiah chapter 4, you're there. The Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now look at Nehemiah's response to all of that in verse number 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Wait a second. If we go back prior to verse number 10, they already had people that were working day and night watching, setting guard, being alert to the enemy. Now he says, I'm going to set, and look at verse number 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It seems to be the case that there was a group that had set a watch, that were bearing the burdens of day and night of not only battling and watching for the battle that was about to take place and guarding against the enemy, but also building the walls daily and up on the walls and trying to put things together. But there seems to be a group that was not. Nobles, rulers, and the rest of the people. Now Nehemiah charges and says, hey, get with the program, folks. We need help. There's strength that's decayed. Man, this project's not going to get done unless we have help. Maybe those people that were watching day and night, they knew that maybe the nobles and the rulers and others were sitting back and not doing much, and that was probably a discouragement to them. Man, we're tired. Man, are there any reinforcements? Anybody coming behind us? Man, we've worked day and night. We've worked through the night. Why? We're on a good project. We know it's God's will that we rebuild these walls, that we return to Jerusalem to what it used to be. But boy, we're exhausted. Lack of help. Lack of help will also cause strength to decay. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel the brunt of the burdens upon you, and there's not so much help around. It seems as though the burden bearers in verse number 10 did not include the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people. More could have been involved, but weren't. Dear church, I want you to understand we're returning to some things. We need everybody to pick up the load. There's a load at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And as we try to open ministries and return again, it can't be four of us and return back to normal. It's got to be all of us saying, let's rise up and build again. I want you to know that Nehemiah not only faced this, but Nehemiah faced a deep state within. I didn't see that this week until I got to Nehemiah chapter number 6. And he's challenged the nobles of Judah and the rulers and the rest of the people. Hey, pick up the work. Remember your God and fight. Hey, folks, we got something to do. We need to be on site. We need to be working. We need to be together. We need to be pressing forward. And then he talks about the nobles of Judah, that same group that he addressed in chapter number 4. Now we're in chapter number 6, verse number 17. And the Bible says, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. Tobiah's the enemy. What in the world are God's people corresponding in cohorts and communicating with the enemy? The letters of Tobiah came unto them. There's correspondence going back and forth. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Aaron. It goes on in that passage. Not only were the nobles not helping to lift the load, but they were on the wrong side of things. They were on the side of the enemy. In fact, in chapter number 13, when the wall's built, you know who Nehemiah is still contending with? The nobles of Judah. That'll wear you down right there. Somebody that's supposed to be on the right side of things, on the wrong side of things. That's trouble. Lack of help. No doubt, Nehemiah was strained in his strength. So we see the causes this morning of strength decayed. But I also want you to understand that weakness is the path to strength. Can everybody say that out loud with me this morning? Weakness is the path to strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, turn there if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verse number 9. Preacher, I'm very weak. Good. You're on the path to strength. Preacher, I'm exhausted. I don't know how long I can carry on in what I'm doing right now in my life. Good. You're on the path to strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hard for Christ's strength to be seen when we're using our own. When is His strength complete in our lives? When we're weak. When we're weak. That, by the way, those are His words. Then is my strength perfected. Much of Christ's ministry consisted of being with powerless people, as I previously mentioned. I want you to understand that in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 9, we see that Nehemiah recognizes the source of strength. In your life, if your strength is decayed this morning, you have got to come to the position in your life where you recognize, I am weak and He is the source of strength. Look at verse number 9, Nehemiah 6, verse number 9. The Bible says, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. God's strength is important for us to tap into and to recognize that we're weak. You know, one of the big problems with the Christian life and with our pride issue is that we don't want to ever admit that we're weak. And we are weak. At times, we're very weak. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He never runs short. He never is weak. He has everlasting strength. I want you to know that the God of strength gives promises about strength. If you're going to tap into God's strength and you're going to run to the source of strength, then you need to understand that He promises strength. listen to these promises in Isaiah 40, verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. God takes you from an empty tank, no might, that's empty, and he fills it up. He increases it. And he does it for us, and he can do it on a daily basis. But when we run in our own strength, brethren, you know what stays empty? Your tank. Whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. If you don't tap into God's strength, then you're not complete in his strength. The Bible says his strength is perfected in our weakness. We need filled up. But we only get filled up not by our own strength, but by God's strength. He promises strength. He giveth power to them that are faint. Listen to this promise in verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How is that strength renewed from day to day? It's renewed by waiting on the Lord. Why is it that when we get busy and we fill our schedules up, one of the first things that goes is waiting on the Lord? When it's the thing that we need the greatest when we're running low. We need renewed strength. In Isaiah 41, he says, verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. God makes that promise. Lyman family, pretty weak the other night. Expected, right? You'd be weak too. What does God do? Renews their strength. I was over at the house yesterday. All of them, I could sense more strength than yesterday. Who does that? God does that. God gives us strength. I want you to understand that he gives you strength on special assignments. My son works at an orchard, and he picks peaches sometimes, and sometimes he bales hay. And some jobs, he gets a variety of jobs every day, and sometimes they're heavy-duty jobs, and sometimes they're not heavy as heavy of duty of jobs. But for any assignment that he gets, God will provide the strength that's needed. Some people are caregiving in our church right now, and it is intense labor. It is intense in watching a loved one suffer, number one. Number two, it's intense to make sure that all of their needs are met. Number three, you feel the pressure that if you don't do it, who's going to do it? There are a number of things that caregivers face. But dear caregivers, let me remind you today that God gives strength for the special assignment that he's given. Sometimes as a pastor, I have an assignment of confrontation. I don't like confrontation. You like confrontation? Anybody here just, man, I just can't wait to confront somebody today. And tomorrow, if I could do it again. And tomorrow, if I could do it again. Man, I just enjoy it. I don't know too many people like that. But you know what? God gives strength for the difficult task and assignments in life. Remember this, whatever assignment God has given you right now, remember this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. My, if he's put this in your life for this time frame and this season in your life, then he will do it. He'll get you through it. He'll give you the strength that you need to come through it. Whatever special assignment. My, you look at some of the special assignments in the Old Testament. Look at Samson going against the Philistines and some of the odds that some of the battles that took place. Gideon with 300 men and the other with thousands of men. How could it be done? I'll tell you how it could be done. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. God's strength comes and meets us for special assignments. It also meets us for spiritual attacks. You know that one of the things that can drain you is a spiritual attack. Nehemiah had it. He's building the wall. Geshem, the Arabian, Tobiah, Sanballat, in chapter number 6, come unto him and say, hey, Nehemiah, take a break, buddy. Why don't you come away to the plain of Ono? And the Bible says, but they thought to do a mischief. And Nehemiah came back with these words, verse number 3, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I'm sorry, I cannot come down. He was under spiritual attack and he resisted the enemy. You say, preacher, then what do I do to get strength? Let me give you four things and we close. Number one, retreat to prayer. Retreat to prayer. In chapter 6, they had falsely accused Nehemiah. They had said that he was rebelling, that he really was doing all this because he wanted to be king. He was warned. He rebuked them. He refuted their lie. And then he released it to the Lord in prayer. In verse number 9, at the end, he says, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." If you are weak this morning, what you need to do is you need to make it to an altar. You need to bow a knee before God and say, "God, I am weak. In one way or another, I am weak. Lord, strengthen my hands." Throughout the book of Nehemiah, we find Nehemiah calling out to God on 8 different occasions. Prayer was important to finishing the work. Prayer was important for him to have the daily strength to do what he needed to do as the leader, for his people to have the strength that they needed. Retreat to prayer. As someone said, prayer is the oxygen of the soul. When somebody's on oxygen, they're weak. If they need to be on oxygen because they cannot breathe, there's a weakness. There's something wrong. What breathes oxygen into your soul when you're weak physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally? I'll tell you what it is. It's prayer. It's prayer. You need time to pray and talk to the Lord. Praying is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of wisdom. Don't think, "Well, that's for somebody else. I can get by without that." No, that's foolish. You'd do wise to do what Nehemiah did. "Oh Lord, strengthen my hands." Number 2, review God's purposes. Retreat to prayer, but number 2, review God's purposes. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 2, if you will. Look at with me verse number 18. Verse number 18. Oftentimes when we are weak, we don't remember that, wait a second, what I'm giving myself to is a good work. What I'm giving myself to is what God's called me to give myself to. Nehemiah said to the men as he was trying to rally the troops to rebuild the walls, verse number 18 it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. What did they have to see? What did Nehemiah have to see? He had to see it was a good work. Hey, God's hand's upon us in this work. Hey, this is a good endeavor for the Lord. Hey, the king, we've seen God's hand move the heart of the king so that I can give myself to this work. Hey, let's look back. Let's look at this thing from a different perspective this morning. Hey, this is right. This is what God wants me to do right now. We've got to get to that. When we're weak, it's time to review and look at it. He said it's a good work here. In chapter 6, he said it's a great work. One of the things that kept Nehemiah driving, good work, great work. Tried to encourage our missionaries right now. "Hey, Gina, you're at a good work." Wrote Pastor Bill last night late as he was getting ready to preach today and tonight. And I said, "Listen, the cost is worth the cause. You have a cause over there. There are people dying without Christ. What you have to go through right now, remember the cause. It's a good work. It's a great work. Dear Christian, your work is a good work. It's a great work. It's God's work. It's a good time to evaluate. Am I giving myself to what God wants me to give myself to? Am I doing what God is asking me to do in my life? When I'm fatigued, it's a good time to review God's purposes. Realizing you have committed yourself to a good work. I'm talking about a ministry. It's a good work. All ministries of our church are good works. I'm talking about the ministry, ladies, of caring for your home. I'm talking about the jobs that you do that nobody sees. Nobody pats you on the back. I'm talking about just managing and guiding a home. I want you to know it's a good work. It's a great work. I want you to know the work of homeschooling your children is a good work. The work of providing for your family, gentlemen, is a good work. It may be heavy right now. It may be long hours. It may be 6-7 days a week at times. But I want you to know it's a good work. I want you to know sharing the gospel with others is a good work. And the work of caregiving is a good and a great work. And the work of rebuilding your marriage is a good work. Listen, don't get weary in it this morning. Review the purposes. Understand, hey, this is big stuff. It's good stuff. It's God's stuff. Giving myself to those things. The work of loving and training your children. When you see it's God's work, when you see it's a good work, when you see it's a great work, it has a way of strengthening you. Strengthening their hands. I want you to see, thirdly, not only do we need to review God's purposes, not only do we need to retreat to prayer, but we need to remember God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10 says this, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish." In effect, they were saying they were out of strength. We aren't making progress. There's still a city full of rubbish. We can't do this. My friend, this is the recipe for discouragement. I shared in the early morning message, I had a roommate in college during my master's degree. The last 2 years I was at school. And we were bunk, slept in the same bunk, had the same room. He got discouraged. For 11 days he didn't get out of bed. I woke up, get ready in the morning, go to class. He's supposed to wake up, get ready in the morning, go to class, work. Didn't. He was paralyzed by discouragement. I want you to understand there will always be rubbish to look at. I don't use the word rubbish too often in our English language, but over in Africa when I was there just a few months ago, they use that word all the time. It's in a conversation and they'll say, "Oh, that's just rubbish." And rubbish here means things that are worthless. Notice what Judah said. "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish." You see, when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he saw rubbish, but he saw beyond the rubbish. He saw what God could do. Do you see beyond the rubbish in your family? Or are you weary because in your mind there is much rubbish? Do you see beyond the rubbish in our country? A lot of Christians talking about all the rubbish. Or can you see beyond the rubbish what God can do? Do you see beyond the rubbish in the church? Can you see what God can do? Dear Christian, if you're going to come out and have strength, you got to get beyond the rubbish. You got to get your eyes beyond the rubbish. I want to close by telling you, lastly, run to God's Word. Run to God's Word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people gathered them together as one man in the street. A lot different look than what we're experiencing in our streets today. These people gathered together in Jerusalem as one man in the street, the Bible says, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, and they asked him to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra did exactly that. They put up a pulpit in the city, in the street. Ezra came and he read the book of the law for hours. And the people stood there. And he gave them a sense of understanding as they ran to the word of God. And the passage says in verse number 6 that the people answered, "Amen, amen," with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read in the book of the law distinctly in verse number 8. Verse number 9, "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Verse number 10, "They were told to go their way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now where does that joy come from? That joy comes from the Word of God. They never get to verse number 10 had they not started in verse number 1. "Dear Ezra, Ezra's the scribe, could you bring the law? Could we just have a time of Bible reading? Hey, Ezra, could you just teach and give us a sense of understanding of what the Word of God means?" As he did, they began to weep. They were so full of joy that they could hear the words of the law. Oh, it ministered to their spirits that when they left, they said, "Go rejoice. Hey, go have a good party," so to speak. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Dear Christian, if you're weak today, if your strength is decayed, the Bible is what you need to run to. You need to spend some quality time in the Word of God. I was reading in Psalm 75 this week. I'll close with this illustration. Psalm 75, or Psalm 74, I think it is. The psalmist was questioning God. How could you cast us off forever? I shared it with our staff. The very next verse, he said, O Lord, you are the King of old that hath redeemed us. And I was reading a commentary, brother, I was reading the commentary on it, and he said this. He said, look at how close the psalmist was to bitterness in verse number one. But then how abrupt his spirit changed when he rejoiced in verse number two and began to praise the Lord. Man, I got up out of my chair. I got ready to come into the office. I was kicking and jumping up for joy. Boy, God gave me something to help me for that day. Man, God's word was real. The Holy Spirit met with me. I've got strength to go today. Run to the Word. Run to the Word.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.